It's been said that most people die at age 25 and wait to be buried at age 65. So the big question is this: how are entrepreneurs like us who believe in God and read the Bible preparing for the financial danger that the bankers and brokers do not want us to know about? How do we resist a life that's less than we are promised and hold on to our dreams so that we can live in fullness every day? That is the question, and this podcast will give you the secret. My name is Nate Scott, and welcome to the Life is Rich podcast.
What's going on, everyone? Nate Scott here, author of Life is Rich, How to Create Lasting Wealth. I want to welcome you each today to Life is Rich podcast with Nate Scott. I am super excited to bring you another episode in this new year, and I'm excited about the guest in which we have today, in which we have Mr. Abdul Ahmad, and he's the $1 million course creator. And so Life is Rich, How to Create Lasting Wealth means it's a principle-centered, biblically-based leadership program focused on personal growth and entrepreneurship. Life is Rich means live in fullness every day. Realize I'm Christ's heir. That means spiritually, mentally, emotionally, relationally, physically, and financially. It's a principle-centered, biblically-based leadership program focused on personal growth and entrepreneurship, specifically written to address the fact that 77 million baby boomers are retiring based on cash flow danger, that 66 out of 100 people age 65 earn less than $30,000 in retirement, that 47% of people say if they had a $400 emergency, they'd have to sell something or borrow money to address it, and 68% of people are living paycheck to paycheck. It's about how to think versus what to think. How to think versus what to think. And this is a process that I developed as an infantry officer, ranger, knowing that in taking my soldiers into battle, that if I were to get killed on the battlefield, the mission would still have to take place. And so I'm delighted to bring you another episode in which I'm working with a practitioner that I'm extremely confident will be able to expose you to a whole different world and a mindset change that will allow you to recognize that you truly are the asset. You are the asset. Your thoughts lead to feelings, which lead to actions, which lead to results. And so we want to work with your belief, but then we don't want to give you a rah-rah feel good. We want to give you something that you can actually walk away with and then move with absolute confidence into your best life. And so, Abdul, welcome, welcome, welcome. What's going on?
I'm doing amazing. Thanks for the opportunity. Yeah, this is amazing.
Absolutely, man. I am so delighted to meet with you. You know, we connected verbally on Clubhouse and have had an opportunity to share the stage via Power Start Your Day with Nicola Smith Jackson. And, you know, I was just very impressed by your spirit and your knowledge and the fact that you've gained this over a relatively short period of time. And so what I'd love for you to do, Abdul, is just share with the audience who you are.
All right. Hey, everyone listening. My name is Abdul Kowi Ahmed, Nigerian by descent. Actually, I was born and raised in Nigeria. I come from like a very, very low income earning family. Well, that has changed over time. But I grew up in Nigeria and I kind of had a situation where my parents were earning very, very low. Like when I say very, very low, a combined of my dad and mom, is less than $1,000 a month. And in a situation where their lifestyle was capped, I saw it like they were existing, not actually living up to their potentials, right? My parents would go months without getting paid salaries. As a matter of fact, my dad is a professor right now in the University of Ibadan in Nigeria, and he has not been paid for 8 months. Mm-hmm. I didn't want that kind of lifestyle. I saw it way back, and I started out my journey into the internet marketing world, specifically direct response marketing, where you help people create marketing campaigns that shorten the lifetime of people taking action, right? So let's say you want someone to like make a purchase, instead of going from creating awareness, branding and all of that, like you get all of that done within a shorter time frame. That's why it's called direct response marketing. And I started out when I was 15, actually, but I took it serious when I was 16. but I won't forget the first $50 I made. While I was living on $42 a month. That's how much my parents were able to afford me and give to me as monthly stipend. But I didn't want that kind of lifestyle. I believe your finances shouldn't be capped or be determined by someone somewhere who can take that off you at any point in time. And it was really based on the life I saw my parents living. So I didn't want that kind of lifestyle. To God be the glory, I started out back then. I'll be 23 in February. So it's more of like 7 years right now. Yeah, so it's still a journey in transit, right? But I've had a couple of experiences. I've had pivots. I was in the direct-to-consumer e-commerce space selling physical products over the internet. And we've sold over $100 million worth of products. But here's what I tell people, right? Like, be transparent, be genuine, and document your journey. I documented my journey in such a way that I was sharing all the milestones I was hitting, and I had people interested in learning e-com. I mean, everyone wants to be a friend to someone that's successful. No one wants, my dad will say, a failure is an orphan, but success has many relatives, right? So I documented the journey and people were interested in that. So I had to create a course around e-com, which is, it has been taken down now to be revamped and launched later at a much more higher price point. But then I created a course. It was very, very successful. So I started sharing like the progress of the course, like, okay, this is how much we made. Matter of fact, I did a pre-launch strategy, which I learned from Apple, by the way, so it's not an hidden secret. I did a pre-launch strategy for the course before I even created it, right? Like, I believe in selling before you create, because that's the only way you get to know if people are really interested. I have a policy, if someone doesn't vote with their credit cards, they are not really interested. Right? So I created just a pre-launch strategy. I have over 700,000 people on my email list. So I just sent it to my email list, really. And boom, like, we generated over 100K in 10 minutes. That showed people were really interested in it, right? So I had to create it. And I've had lots of people that went through it and were successful. But like they say, everyone is interested in your success. So people started hitting me up on how they could learn how to create how to sell their own courses, because I didn't start with the initial mindset that everyone has, like, you have to sell your course for $7.97, $4.97, all of that. No, I chose a price point that I felt comfortable with and I put it out there and boom, it sold, right? So that's how my journey into the world of helping course creators map out their strategies to ensure they sell, I'd say, at very, very good price points. I believe you sell it for 5K. I mean, you only need 200 sales at 5K to make $1 million, right? So less people, less hassles, more money. So I started doing that and it has been an awesome journey. I mean, I'm living on my own terms. I'm living my life. I'm traveling the world. I can take care of my responsibilities. I can take care of my family. And yeah, the most important thing I would say is your background shouldn't put your back to the ground. Like, you make of what life brings your way. Right. I could have resigned to fate and be like, when I graduate from the university, because, well, I'm a university graduate, but I could have felt like maybe when I graduate from the university, I'll start looking for jobs, which is not real. I mean, in Nigeria, we have graduates churned out year in, year out, and the labor market is very, very small compared to people that have been churned out. So we had more of supply than demand, right? So you can find 10 in 100 graduates be the only ones that get employed. So that was, And I felt like I didn't even want that kind of lifestyle. I didn't want to work a 9-to-5. I didn't want my life to be controlled. So that's why I chose the internet. And I mean, the internet is the ultimate leveler. Awesome. You can reach millions of people around the world with the internet. So that has been my journey in
keywords. You know what, Abdul, you covered so much ground with that. Let me ask you though, I remember you shared the story of that breakthrough. You spoke about how you were putting forth the effort and there was the power of one. There was one contact that in turn kind of opened up. And I like to refer to this because I've been doing a lot of focus work with my clients on getting rid of the clutter and focusing on one based upon some principles that I learned from the book of The Power of One. Tell me about that story so the audience can hear how positioning and how you can create your own luck by those things which you're doing. Because I think that's a pivotal story to what is now your lifestyle. Yeah. That it didn't just happen all of a sudden. There was something that was that godly moment that kind of opened up.
Okay. So focusing on so many things disrupts your energy. In the beginning, I was freelancing on, I think it was Fiverr, because I freelanced on a couple of platforms, Fiverr, freelancer.com, and what. But I think it was Fiverr. I met an Irish guy, and literally it was still creating marketing campaigns, but he was a consultant, and I met him on Fiverr. Yeah, I think it was Fiverr. And Nigerians, we have this bad repute for defrauding in the online space. But I think that is changing over time. But back then, it was very, very crazy. So I had this client, and I tried my best to ensure I deliver before even the time frame set. And do not forget, this was in a situation wherein I had to go use the university cyber cafe to browse. I wasn't born into a wealthy family where I would have access to all of this at that point in time. So I was making use of what I had to get what I wanted, but I was trying to always over-deliver to this man. And he was glad that I was always like being on my toes and trying to give the best result possible. So he at some point started introducing me to his network, right? Like he saw I was credible. I don't bullshit people. If I like to do something, I'll tell you. If I wouldn't, I'll tell you. Like, I think that's made me stand out, even in my space right now. Like I always say, create content that attracts those you want and repels those you don't. So I've always had that principle right from time. So I deliver and he was so happy. Now he was getting influx of client work too. And he just felt like, okay, this guy is credible. And he started sending me some of his clients. Right. And by sending me some of his clients, now he was like on a norms, he was supposed to probably ask for a commission on every work that I do with him. But it wasn't like he was just saying he has enough to go around. And that's where I learned the abundance mindset from. Because I mean, coming from someone that has this survivalist mindset, I was always like, I just want to survive. There was no idea of I want to thrive. I mean, where's the opportunity to thrive? I'm in a family where everyone is living paycheck to paycheck, where we are just trying to get to the next day. We're not planning for a week. We're not planning for a year. We're just planning for the next day. Like, hopefully I wake up the next day and I have something to, you know, live on. So it wasn't that kind of mindset. So he coming into my life was like, oh, wow. And it still pains me till this that he's dead. He died of colon cancer. Mm. That's by the way. He now started introducing clients my way. And then he told me at one point, like, I was charging $50 for the service I was delivering to him, which was still a lot to me back then. Like, man, my parents are giving me $42 a month. You are giving me $50 per project. It's still a lot to me, right? So I was grateful. And then he told me, like, no, you should start charging more. So he told me to charge $1,000. I thought he was insane when he told me to charge $1,000 for, I mean, that's like 200% more than what I'm getting paid. And he said I should charge more. So I felt like, okay, fine. Let me see if I charge more. Would I still get more clients or would they run away? But to my surprise, they actually paid me. I mean, I just told the clients that he sent me the last time, like, okay, can you pay $1,000? I wasn't even like, you will pay $1,000. It was more like a request. Like, can you pay $1,000? And I was like, yeah, sure. Why not? And I'm like, what? So you can pay me $1,000 and you haven't, and the man told me, he said, you didn't ask. That's where I learned the power of asking. Like, asking a question or asking for help will open doors for you more than you know. So I charged $1,000, and then I remember vividly, I charged $1,000 in February because it was close to my birthday. And then in April, he asked me to charge $2,500. And I'm like, hold on. You just told me a few months ago to charge $1,000. Now you're asking me to charge $2,500. He says, yes. And I'm like, okay, fine. I'll do that. Because, I mean, he's more experienced than I am. So I decided to follow suit and I charged $2,500. And now I was getting much more qualified leads that were willing to pay me. So that gave me confidence. It opened doors for me. And when you look at it, the exchange rate for that compared to how much you earn in Nigeria is way higher, right? Like the disparity was huge. My dad, as a professor, after spending, now I think this is going to be his 26th year, he still doesn't earn up to 2K a month. And I was earning 2K per project from that. So I was living comfortably, right? I was okay. Not just okay. I mean, in Nigeria, if you have 2K a month, you can live comfortably. You can belong to like the top 5%. So I was living comfortably. And by the way, I was young. I still am young, right? So then eventually he was on my neck to charge 10K. This was in a matter of 6 months from when I charged 1K. So the growth was rapid. I mean, in 6 months to go from 1K to 10K, I charged 10K. It was the same clients I was working with. I retained them. New clients he sent my way. Based on the credibility and word of mouth from him, they were coming cash in hand, ready to pay. So it wasn't like I'm trying to pitch them. They were already sold on the services before they came my way. All I needed was to be able to deliver the results to them. So I got paid 10 grand. And that was like the beginning of everything. So I was making this money, but I had no one I could talk to on how I can manage the money. And that's where it gets very, very interesting. To make money is easy. To keep and grow money, that's where the big problem lies. Right? Because if you don't know what to do with money when it comes, it eventually leaves to stay with those that know how to use it, right? So you don't want to become a slave to your money. You want to be, you want to make it your tool. So I had to join a mastermind. I felt like that's the only environment that I can find people that are way successful than I am and are also where I want to be. So I paid for a mastermind, which is why I say the best investment you can make is in yourself. Like, that's literally it. I paid for a mastermind and my life took on from there. Like, I started getting people. I mean, when you add value to you, like, this conversation would never start if I never added value in the rooms, right? So I added value, which is my, that's always been my strategy. Like, add value to people, it's open doors for you. So I added value to these people in the mastermind, and they eventually made me like a group admin of over 150,000 people. These are internet marketers, people from different spaces, but all using like the internet as a way to acquire leads, customers, and clients. So I made it a routine to post in the group every day consecutively and also try and answer questions. So this way I was generating clients, I was making connections, and my life took off from there. Like now, I mean, to work with me one-on-one begins at 25K. So I'm no longer that $50 boy. But like the life has changed. And I'm really grateful, like really, really grateful for the people that have come into my life, for the lessons I've learned. It has not been a 100% smooth journey. I mean, there are so many ups and downs, but the mindset, I mean, if you get your mind right, you would always get your money right. I've lost money, I've made money, I've lost money, I've invested in things that drained my resources. But if you know how to make money once and you made it legit, you will always make it back, no matter how many times you lose it.
Well, what you've done is, I'm excited to have you here. And speaking of that, and there's so many things that my mind goes through, because you're the embodiment of why I'm focused on creating a $10 million endowment fund to foster personal growth and development and entrepreneurship. You see, for me, at 1996, the week that I graduated from West Point, I got introduced to the world of personal growth and development and entrepreneurship. And that forever changed my life. I walked into a room full of happy people. And then I say that I'm referring to that scene from the movie Pursuit of Happiness, where there's a white guy coming up in a red sports car wearing a suit and tie. So he represented success. And Will saw him and stopped him and said, I've got two questions for you. What do you do? And how do you do it? And for me, when I see that scene and when I'm speaking, I always refer to it and telling people that right there, that one scene is a multi-million dollar scene that can pay you for life. Because all you got to do is connect with those people that have that which you think they have by perception. You can then investigate to see if in fact it's true. But at the end of the day, it's starting at that point and then going to that source and just simply asking. And the more successful people are the ones that in turn are open to share. And that's why the power of Clubhouse has been what it is. The other thing I will say in that is I tell people that take away my degrees from tier one schools, be it West Point, my MBA from George Washington, finance from Georgetown. When I learned to pick up books and go to seminars and be around successful people, that's what laid foundation for everything else that I've done in my life. And so as a father of a 16-year-old and a 15-year-old, I don't raise my children to go to college. My thing is that fortunately they're blessed to have a dad that's not only a military vet, a college graduate, a corporate guy, and an entrepreneur, is that I'm able to ask the question, do you want a job, a career, or a life? For those of you out there listening right now, I want you to ask yourself that. Do you want a job, a career, or a life? Because Abdul, your life represents an alternate route that I want everyone to get exposed to sooner than later. I want people to begin with the end in mind. I want them to say, I want a life. And then I want them to say, well, what does that life look like? And then from that, we now can go through a process of elimination. We can cancel out all the things that will never give you that desired outcome. And so your life at this point right now has so many components of inspiration that I'm excited to have this opportunity, because I want others to hear that choice that you made. And you've got an opportunity to have some perspective because of that life which you came from. And then you had that mentorship that you were willing to follow. And that's why I think it's so important for you to have a plan, mentorship, and support. You will listen to that person telling you, who saw something in you that had perspective, because he valued the fact that you had proven yourself worthy. You have delivered results, and that's your brand. It's not that thing that everyone talks about. The brand is in the results that you deliver. The brand is your walking embodiment. And that's one of the examples of Apple. So run with it, man. That's what I pulled out from that little thing because clear path.
Yeah. Apple is a brand that I do love. Like, I mean, I've been studying them since I was a teenager. And every strategy they pull, I feel like there are two types of people that exist. People that consume and just watch things happen. And people that observe and actually make things happen. When I studied the culture that Apple has created and actually implemented it, I've lost count of how much that has made me. Apple has built a cult-like audience. And you may not really see it from that perspective in the first world countries, right? But I came from a third world country. Matter of fact, Nigeria is now called the poverty capital of the world, overtaking India, right? But in Nigeria, while I was growing, owning an iPhone is seen as a status symbol. The same way you pull up in a Ferrari and people look at you like, "Ooh, you have a Ferrari, you have a nice ride." That's the same way growing up, if you had an iPhone, that's how it felt. Now, Apple has something in such a way is that if you use their product once, you wouldn't want to go back to another brand. They have that culture they've built. And when you look at it, success really has so many blueprints. It has a playbook that if you really observe it, can be applied to any sphere of the world, any space. Mm-hmm. I took an instance from what Apple did by creating there's this stuff he says this is for the misfits, for those he gave that speech. I'm trying to remember exactly the sentence, but what that really does is, you know, it separates who they want from everybody, right? Like, that's why I'm very, very polarizing, honestly. I mean, when you're polarizing, people that love you strongly, they love you deeply. People that hate you are just fanboys in disguise because they are the ones that engage with your content the most. They share it with someone and they're like, "Look at that stupid fellow." Whereas they are introducing you to an entirely new audience you may never even reach yourself. Right? So when Apple came out with that strategy and they were like, "We don't belong to everybody. These are the specific people we belong to." Now people want to self-identify. And that is one of the core needs of humans that exist. Recognition and belonging to a community. We as humans, we evolved with our tribal instinct. Farmers moved with farmers. Hunters moved with hunters. Soldiers move with soldiers, right? And they are all tied together based on a common interest. So when people start saying something repeatedly, and they see that people that think like them, act like them, look like them, feel like them, engage with something, they move with it.
Yeah, I call it alignment before assignment.
Let me put that down.
Alignment before assignment. And it's, that quote is from Rob Siltington, and it says, "Here to the crazy ones, the misfits, the rebels, the troublemakers, the round pegs and the square holes, the ones who see things differently. They're not fond of rules and they have no respect for the status quo. You can quote them, disagree with them, glorify or vilify them. about the only thing you can't do is ignore them, because they change things. They push the human race forward. And while some may see them as the crazy ones, we see genius, because the people who are crazy enough to think they can change the world are the ones who do.
That really stuck with me, because I mean, I'm like the crazy one in my family. I'm the first one who stood up and like, I want to be an entrepreneur. Left to my dad, I'd have probably ended up as a lecturer, because they know I'm smart. And it's not to my own. My dad did something for me when I was growing up. He would buy me books. That's why I'm a bibliophile. Like, he would buy me books. I would buy me a lot of books. Books that are way beyond my grasp growing up. Like, I was 5 when daddy started introducing books to me. But I didn't really understand until when I was 7, 8. And he would buy me books. And he would tell me, if I finish reading it and I can explain what I learned from it before he comes back from work, he's going to give me Scotch Egg and Lacassera. I don't know if you know of the soda drink called Lacassera, but he says he would buy it for me. And I mean, while everyone is playing, while everyone is having fun, I would sit there, read the book, because I want to deliver. So I think he also was part of who imbibed that culture of delivering results into me. When I think of it right now, it seems that's where it all stems from. I like to set deadlines for myself and hit my targets before then. So you buy me books, and before he comes back from work, I finish reading the books. Matter of fact, I cleared all my results in the school, in high school, in primary school, and in the university. Whenever it comes to literature, when it comes to like English, all of that, I did all my exams once. Like, I cleared everything once. At the primary school level, I was always getting prizes. I was first in my set. In high school, I cleared the results. I was made a prefect. In the university, we do an exam to gain admission into the university. It's called JAMB, Joint Admission Something Board. I've forgotten what M stands for. I did it at one sitting. I scored beyond what was set for the university. I did the university exam. I scored 70, cutoff 70 over 100, the cutoff for law, because I wanted to study law. I thought law was the only course that was available for someone in the social sciences. I didn't know there are an array of courses and disciplines I could take. But I wanted to study law. I scored 70, cutoff for law was 73. And my dad was like, man, I have a policy. It's not where I'll go and beg anyone to ask them to put you into law. And I'm like, no need begging anyone. I'll do well here. But it was during my exam into the university that I discovered the world of the internet. So when I got into my first year, I just said it like, I'm not going to use my degrees. I found something I want to build my life around. So I was excelling at school, but I was so focused on the internet space and entrepreneurship. My dad was always pissed in the beginning. Like, what? Why are you always on your system, your laptop? I mean, when there is no way, I will make a way. My laptop back then was a portable laptop. It's not like it could do a lot of functions. You couldn't even have Photoshop on it. It wasn't that efficient. So instead of using Photoshop, I got an open source software called GIMP. So it's also a photo manipulation software, but it's not as efficient as Photoshop, but then it starts the job, right? So I used it, go on YouTube, watch videos. Money I get from my dad, I invest it in courses. I implement what I learned from the courses. I make money from that, and I invest in much more advanced courses. That's literally how I gamified my life. So that's always been like, okay, if this won't work, then what will work? I don't try to focus on what isn't working because I have enough reasons to give up. So why would I focus on much more reasons to give up instead of right. how can I move forward, right? So that's how I've always like gamified everything. So
It's like having a choice of a book. You can get the book with the answers or the book with all the right answers or the book with all the wrong answers. Exactly. And most people always focus on all the wrong answers. It's like, why are you going to play to that? So that's a that's a beautiful, beautiful story. And I can appreciate that because for me, coming out of high school, when my basketball scholarship fell through, I turned down my academic scholarships and enlisted in the Army. And that was a shocker to people because I had the background academically to go a particular route. But I'm like, that's not what I want. I got this goal here. So this is what I'm looking to go do. So that whole idea of going against the grain, taking the route that you can see with the end in mind. And even right now, I always talk to people, I'm like, when people ask me about going to school, I was like, why? And I have to ask them, they got to give me that answer because you can be taking a path where you didn't think about how easy it would be for you to go find that person in that particular field and then get the real deal about what you're thinking to determine if you really want that life. It's like, okay, you want to be a doctor. Why? Okay, go talk to the most senior doctor that you want if you're doing it for that reason and then find out what they want because you only have one life.
True.
And at 19, when I was walking around during Desert Storm in combat, I said, Lord, if you allow me to make it back, I'll never waste my life. And that right there put me in, gave me the understanding of the value of the 1,440 minutes per day that each of us has. And yeah. So my life commitment has been focused on truly living in fullness every day because of that vow that I took and the responsibility that I know that if I were to die right now, I've got to make sure that I left it all out there, that I did it to be a person of service and that I in turn made my mark to be a person of impact. Exactly. And it's amazing right now, just speaking to you, I'm like, well, shucks, you know, right now you're walking out that which I say that I think every young person can have. And like I said, you're young enough to be my son. So literally it's like, okay, you're the example, exactly what I'm, as I speak into my teenagers to say, hey, I don't put you in a box. Fortunately, dad has had enough experiences and enough exposure to not give you that broken system to say, go that way. When I know that there's a way for you to live in fullness every day. I mean, I walked away from a traditional career track because I had always set myself on being the dad that was around. So I walked away from a great corporate job because I had enough income coming in because of my entrepreneurial endeavors. Yeah. And that blew people's mind. But it was the thing that was most important. I knew the value of life. And I didn't want anything to interfere with me sewing into the most important asset that I have, which is my children. And so thank you for your example. Now, as you're moving forward into 2021, let's talk about the way ahead and what you're working on, and more importantly, why you're working on that.
Okay, so this year, I see it like my year to bounce back. And it might sound funny, but in the 2008 .com bubble, I was still a kid. So I never experienced a situation that would stall all plans. I had a lot of plans for 2020. Matter of fact, I wanted to do a lot of things for 2020, but it was not feasible because of the pandemic. And I feel like it did me a lot of good because not only did it build my mental fortitude, it also made me maximize what I have instead of what I need, right? So it taught me a lot of lessons. So this year is more of leverage. Focus on things that can give me leverage, which is why this year, I'm also launching like my own podcast. I've always had that in mind. I see podcasting as a tool for two things. One, to make genuine connections because everyone wants to tell their story. Two, for me to also like use my vibe to attract my tribe. It's a tool that I just have to deploy it out there once, and it will keep attracting people that belong into my network, right? So it creates this inbound network of people that either listen to your story, they love it, or you share something of value to them and it changes their life, and you can also leverage on that, right? So that's one. The second thing is I'm working on a course for new course creators or existing course creators who want to scale their courses. And why is that? I usually work with existing course creators who already have a validated offer and are trying to scale to that $1 million mark or past it with reframing their offer, restructuring their messaging, and amplifying their reach. Right? That's what we do on a one-on-one level with them. And it's a month-to-month kind of thing. But this year, I want to do less client work, right? And have something that is out there that keeps serving people on that basis and already brings people into the way I work. So even if they are coming to me, they are already pre-qualified, right? Like they already understand my system, they already understand my framework. So I've had a lot of requests on Clubhouse because people have seen that that's what I talk about the most. I mean, it's contrary to what majority of the gurus or marketers advise. The advice that will sell someone from the $97 price point, ascend them to 497, then 997. I'm like, why not cut through all the bullshit and just go straight to real meat of this thing? Like, if you can serve someone at the highest level, why try to just stall their progress when you can take them from point B and take them to Z straight up? Like, because you already have the knowledge. So why just put it in bits and bits and bits and bits when you can put it in a specific course and it is self-paced, right? So they go at their pace, not in a way that they now have to learn A, then learn B and learn C. I mean, it exhausts people. I've been in this industry for quite a while, so I understand. Eventually, people are like, you are being shady. Whereas it's not you being shady, it's just that you don't understand human psychology, right? When you understand human psychology, you know that people that have, okay, which is part of what I'll be teaching, but I've said it so many times on Clubhouse. There are two types of people. People that have more money than time and people that have more time than money. People that have more money than time, they want the meat of the matter. Like, they want you to go straight to the point, tell them how they can implement, because they are always looking for how they can implement and fast track their agenda, right? So these are the people you want to focus solely on. Like, people that have much more time than money, they cost you a headache. And I'm not apologetic about this, because they come in with the mindset of, I'm just starting out, I'm still struggling. So they need a lot of attention. And what I know is time is finite. Your time is finite. Money is unlimited, like millions of dollars, like $594 billion gets printed daily in the USA, not that face value, but how much is recycled back into the economy every day, right? It's $594 billion. So all you need to do is position yourself out there to channel that into your own ecosystem and get a piece of that. I mean, if you get just 0.00001% of that, you'll still be set for life. So if these people will demand the most of your time, and you know that is what you can't replenish, you can't make extra time. You can't tell God, please give me 26 hours. It's impossible, right? So why not work with people that demand less of your time, but demand more of your intellect? So if people are demanding more of your intellect, package your intellect, put it out there, and then serve them at the highest level. They'll be happy. You're also going to be happy because now you have your time back to yourself to spend with the family, go on vacations, and know that you still get paid. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't serve people that have more time than money, but they should probably occupy 5% of what it is you have to do. And how do you serve them? To create your free content that attracts people into your world. If they are interested eventually, people work for what they value. If someone sees, I mean, we men are status driven. That's no lie. Men are status driven. And a man would work all his life to acquire a toy. And a toy in this sense means a car that he has dreamed of since he was a boy. Right? He doesn't care how long it takes him, but he wants to just have that sense of fulfillment of, man, I bought my dream car. So if your course is you've communicated the value enough through your free content to people, people will work for it. I tell people, like, price is never really the problem. You're just unable to communicate the value of your offer to your ideal audience, right? The moment you provide that clarity to people that they understand, okay, this is what is involved, it's either a yes or a no, right? If they want it, they'll come for it. If they don't want it, they wouldn't come for it. But when you're, I mean, to, regardless of wherever you are in the world, if you're making $100,000 a month, that goes to your bank account, not $100,000 gross revenue. I mean, $100,000 gross profit that goes into your bank account. You can live comfortably regardless of wherever you are in the world, right? So, I mean, if you sell your course for 5K and you make 20 sales, just did 100K, right? Now, we know Stripe charges and all of that will be included. So let's say you make just 21 sales. Now you already have over 100K that you've eat in a month that you cannot say, okay, 100K is coming straight to your bank account, regardless of anything. And this way, you perform efficiently and much more optimized. I mean, we have 1 billion people on using Facebook actively. So it's, how will you not get 20 sales in a month? We have 30 days. So let's say you don't get sales for 10 days of that month, you should get at least one sale a day for 20 days consistently. So that's what my course is going to be teaching, the strategies, the tactics, my exact framework for ensuring that you're able to not only price your courses, but you're also able to create irresistible offers. Because your price is just a small percent of what it means to create an irresistible offer, right? I mean, if I tell you, okay, this headset, I want you to buy it for $10,000, you might be like, why would I buy it for $10,000, right? But if I study you and I observe that, for instance, you're interested in the life of, let's use Malcolm Gladwell, for instance. Let's say you're interested in the life of Malcolm Gladwell. And I go through Malcolm Gladwell's archive. I look for all his conferences. I look for all his speeches. I look for all his audio version of his courses. I look for his interviews. I look for how he talks about his own life, how he's living successfully, right? And then I now combine that with all the database of Napoleon Hill, how he became successful, his contacts, his association, people that you can leverage on, and then I package that and put it in an SD card and put it in that headset. Now the headset is worth more than $10,000 because you know that personally you'd spend more than 10K to access all of that information. And I just packaged it in a small SD card, added it to that headset, and I tell you, would you pay 10K for this? It's a no-brainer. You want it. Yeah. So it's all about understanding your audience, the psychology behind how to sell, knowing how to attract. Because the easiest people to sell to are those that come your way, not those you try to pitch to. If a dentist comes to you right now and is like, oh, I'd like to help you do scaling and polishing, you'd look at him like he's crazy. But if you're in pain and you go to the dentist, they're like, I have a pain in my tooth right now. And he tells you, okay, you get a scaling and you get scaling and polishing done, and this is how much it costs. You're willing to pay. So you want to create an attraction, flywheel, and all of that. That's what my course will be diving into, how you can set your numbers, because it's all about knowing your numbers. Once you know your numbers, it makes it very, very easy to break down. And you don't know how to like get people into your network. So that's what I'm working
on. I love it. I love it. I love, love, love when I'm talking to guys that understand direct response marketing. It's a whole different world. And I'm excited about what your course has to offer, because literally what you just now laid out is, I mean, it's on point, and it's exciting hearing it delivered in that way. So yeah, this is going to be really, really great. And so we're coming to the end, and what I want to do is, I'd like to get to the end and really find out, how may I be of service to you? I give you an opportunity to ask anything direct, as well as if there's any questions that you want to ask of me.
So I'm always thinking of how I can be of service to someone. I've never really gotten asked that question. So I know you have a lot of experience, more than I do, when it comes to the world, business, networking. So I definitely reach out. I need to understand my finances more. That's one thing I need to understand more. I already know how to make money. It's when it comes to keeping and growing it. I would say, when on a scale of 100, I am probably around 65% more. Good is the enemy of great, right? So I want to be great at the management of my finances. So I'll definitely reach out on that. And if I have access to your network, I mean, if probably I need something and I feel like your network, your Rolodex of people can be of help, I'll definitely reach out on that. And there's a question I wanted to ask. You're a father now. How do you think that changes your view when it comes to entrepreneurship? That's one. Two, I'm very, very driven. And I'm very, 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 very driven, very, very obsessed when it comes to like crushing my goals, probably because of the kind of background I came from. So it makes me very, very driven. And I don't take things for granted. A lot of what people take for granted in the US now and in first world countries, when I left Nigeria, I was like, whoa, this people really take a lot of things for granted. I mean, you people are getting, you're getting, we call it palliatives in Nigeria, but you've got COVID reliefs. Who gives that in? No one gives that, right? So, like, I had to struggle to get access to PayPal and Stripe. Literally anyone born in the US now with SSN, social security number, can apply for PayPal and Stripe, and they'll get it. I paid thousands of dollars to access that. Right? But when it comes to growth, what would you say was the pivotal moment for you? Like, what changed your life when it comes to your growth as a man? I'm at a point in my life where majority of my decisions are driven around more. I want more.
I've got a couple of different things. Great question. So let me first go with some key moments in my life. The first key moment in my life was me getting exposure to Malcolm X. Got exposure to the book, the autobiography of Malcolm X, as a teenager when I got to Germany as an enlisted soldier. I'd never been exposed to him. And in reading the autobiography of Malcolm X, it forever changed my life because it awakened me. It gave me a view of someone that had such a strength, and in his whole view of himself. And also through that, throwing myself into studying him, I got a chance to see his evolution, which means that I got a chance to see him take new information that was counter to what he had been taught. And because he got exposure to a bigger picture when he took his trip to Mecca, I saw that he didn't stay the way he was grew up. He changed. He literally was like, oh, this is new information. I thought these group of people, because they looked like this, were like this. But wait a minute. I go to Mecca and I see everyone's that looks like different types of people. But wait a minute, we had the same beliefs. And that caused him to start to view people differently. And that fired those, the thing that was a change for me in that point. The next thing that was pivotal for me was at 19 when I walked perimeter during Desert Storm, because prior to leaving Germany to go into combat, I walked around the room with the video camera, talking into the camera to my family saying, listen, I don't know if I'm gonna make it back. So that realization of looking at these material items that I had accumulated, because here I was as a teenager and I had money coming in and I blew that money. And now I'm like going into combat to go do my job, but I wasn't prepared to, I didn't anticipate going into war, but I knew that was my job.
Yeah.
And so when I found myself in that place where I got a chance to say, this is real, and there's no promise I'm gonna make it back. Life can't be taken for granted, and I'm not gonna take it for granted. And so, Lord, if you allow me to make it back, I'll never waste my life. And that right there was a pivotal point, because my name is Nathaniel, which means God's gift. When I said, Lord, I'll never waste my life, that was really the culmination of everything that was my life. And that was saying, you know what? I'm here to serve you. And the way I serve you is through serving your people. And that inevitably evolved into Life is Rich, living fullness every day, realize I'm Christ's heir, because I'm like, I'm just an instrument to serve others. And as a result of serving others, that's where value is delivered. And that's where wealth, I can tap into that which I'm already promised as an heir to my father. So that was a pivotal moment. The next pivotal moment was February 26, 1992 at 10:30 a.m. when I drew out a Benjamin Franklin tee and put out pros and cons and made a decision to go to West Point when I had no intentions of going. I made a decision logically to say, here's the pros and cons. Here's what I've got to deal with for a moment of time in order to get to this outcome. So that delayed gratification. That was pivotal for me. The next pivotal was in 1996 when I got introduced to the world of personal growth and development and entrepreneurship. Because that right there showed me the power of my mind when I got access to information, because I can then learn that which I want to learn. And I was like, this is it. Nobody's teaching this stuff. Why isn't nobody sharing this information? It's right here. Why am I 25 years old now just getting exposure to the power of the library? And then from there in 2001, as I was leaving the military and I had a 90-day window and I read the book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, but I didn't just read it, I applied it. And in reading it, I saw two diagrams that changed my life, because I saw the one that showed the cash flow quadrant, which showed the different flows and its different places income came from, E for employee, S for self-employed, B for business, I an investor. But the thing that changed my life forever was that flow of income difference between the poor, the middle class, and the wealthy. Income, the expenses out the window for the poor, or income to liability, which has an expense, then out the window for the middle class. But when I saw income to asset, it reminds me that when I hear your story, you talk about how you would get the money from your dad and then you put it into studying your asset. Then you create more income, and then you put it back into something else to go get study. And then you create more income, then you put it back in there. Well, that right there is what I did in 2001 when I went out and acquired over $1 million in assets in 90 days. which led to my first million at 32. It was that simplistic nature. But when my daughter was about to be born in 2004, I got a chance to then do what I said I was working so hard for. Because I see, you know, it's one thing to say that this is why you're doing stuff. But then what do you do when that exit point comes to there? You see, it was a guy that I had bought during that 90-day window. I bought two properties from one guy. He was an older white guy. And we developed some of a relationship. And he asked me one day, he said, Nate, when is enough enough? He said, you're a young guy, you know, you're having so much success right now. I said, when is enough enough? He said, I don't think you're gonna stop. I said, well, you know, I'm not chasing anything. I said, so for me, enough is when I'm able to just truly be free and live comfortably and feel good about me, because I'm not running against anyone else's race. And this is what I verbalized to him, but it's one thing to say it.
It's another thing to leave it.
But it's another thing to leave it. And so in 2004, as I was about to have my daughter, Nadia, I ran my numbers. And I had this base salary of my career as a senior systems analyst for the Missile Defense Agency with the base salary about in 2004, I think I was at like 85 base salary. And then you got the stock options and all this stuff. And it wasn't a hard job. I was working as a, you know, behind a desk, but I was unfulfilled, which is what allowed me to have the time to do those other things that I did on the side. Because I went to grad school and everything else, and I was an investor, I was a real estate guy. I did all that other stuff because I just was bored. My mind was not activated the way that I needed to be activated. And so fortunately, I ran that race and I created that passive income, income to asset, income to asset, income to asset. And I had the job doing this for me, but income to asset was, I was playing cash flow 101 in real life. And I found myself having enough cash flow to live and to walk away from a great job because it was unfulfilling. And I picked up and moved from the DC metro area, the Jacksonville, Florida, sight unseen, and moved into the financial services field because I wanted to see what they were being taught, because I was getting cold called by people. They didn't know my background. They didn't know I was a West Pointer, MBA, financial planning, but more importantly, they didn't know I was looking for an advisor. You see, I value having sound counsel around me, even if I got the information. Because in the military, I was able to delegate, and I knew, because I was a soldier before I was an officer, I knew that just because someone had a title or was in a particular role didn't mean they weren't capable to do some extraordinary things. And so I trust people because I'm still the CEO and I'm still responsible as a leader, but I don't have to micromanage people. I just need to know how to spot check and make sure people are in the right position and doing what they're supposed to do. And that's essentially why I went into the financial services. Because I said, after asking a few questions, I realized that I thought that they were just salespeople. And within a week of being in the business as an advisor with a global wealth management firm, after being licensed 766 Life of Bernie Mortgage Real Estate, I saw that my background and experiences didn't matter because it wasn't a job of making people money. It was a sales job. It was gathering assets under management. That's how I was getting paid by the company. And that blew my mind. Because I then saw running numbers that I was doing something different than most because I wasn't pressed by the commission. I wanted them to get results. And I saw that I couldn't get them results by just putting them in the market because I didn't control the market. And they didn't know I didn't control the market. Yet putting them into certain plans would not guarantee, give them an opportunity to get to the level of income that they needed or a level on their balance sheet that would allow them to retire comfortably. And so when I left that position to be CFO of an Inc. 500 fast growing company, I never forgot the opportunity. So as a parent who's driven, as a young man who's yet to be a father, what I will tell you if I were to mentor you, the example that I have to give to you is to simply say this. Begin with the end in mind. Decide right now what's most important to you. Recognize that there's no shortage of money. As you said, money is easy to make. But because you have that mindset, plan, design your life the way you want it right now, such that when you have the good fortune of having the responsibility of having a family, you can savor every moment of it. My children experienced me from day one, taking them to daycare, childcare. They experienced me from day one going on field trips. My kids, I got stuff on YouTube right now where my daughter is probably four or five years old, putting CDs in my computer, duplicating the CDs. And me asking, and me walking her through and say, okay, do that CD. And teaching her what that, because I always had them around. I would tell my children, daddy is always available in here. But just because you see daddy doesn't mean he's not working. So if you ever want me, then you got to tell me you want me to do something to be somewhere, because I'm gonna be working, because this is the price that I pay to ensure that we still have life. But don't you let other people cause you to think that something's wrong with the way that daddy does things. I said, because look around here at the pool. Where are the other dads at? Dad's in the pool with you. He's got his phone here. But you got daddy 24/7. We're doing anything that you want. Pool, beach. I'm at the school for lunch. We're doing all those things. But what happens is the world will tell them and paint the picture as if that's something that's wrong, because it's counter to what everyone else is doing. And I experienced that family-wise and everything else. Why are you always on the phone? He's always on the phone. And do you just ever relax and take, and you have to say, I have to ask the question and say, what is relaxing? What would I do that would make you think I'm relaxing? What would make it such? Is it me sitting in front of the TV with my feet up drinking a beer? I said, because that's not me, and that's not what I consider relaxing. I said, so young man, I will tell you that's what my desire is for you, because I can, as a mentee, which is, again, my life is devoted to that piece right there, is that I want you now to stand on my shoulders and just do that, to right now design the life that you want and literally build it exactly as you want, so that you're not chasing it. Be driven, be goal-oriented, be focused, be intentional, because you only have 1,440 minutes per day. But do it because it excites you. Do it because you just love it. Like right now, I don't have to be doing what I'm doing right now. This is me, I enjoy this. And when I pour out into others that I mentor and do what I do, it's like, I don't have to think about charging. I know the value I've got. So when I choose to just give it away, it's because I've got so much in me. I can't help but, I can't put it down. I have to remind people that this is what I do. I have to literally say, hey, now just because you have access and I'm giving you this, let's be clear. I get paid for this. So I might be giving it to you, but I know the value. And when I think people don't understand the value of it and they take it for granted, then that's when I'll pull back. But for those people that I know understand the value and appreciate, I'm an open book. It's like, no, this is fun, because what am I going to do with it? I can't take it with me. This is what wealth looks like. So when I say Life is Rich, How to Create Lasting Wealth, and that book is something that will address that other part that you spoke of, about that whole thing about what do you do because money is making it easy. I wrote Life is Rich, How to Create Lasting Wealth for people like you, because I cover leadership is the answer, the cash flow danger. It happened to me. Become an entrepreneur, choosing the right entity, raising capital, asset protection, protecting your financial privacy, reducing your taxes, retirement planning, residual income retirement planning, estate planning, and Life is Rich. I wrote it to give you the questions to ask the people that are the professionals, because I was unlike most, because I went into the business of financial services after making my first million. I just happened to also be kind of smart that I had degrees from West Point, but I was an entrepreneur first and foremost. So that's what kind of makes my story different. So I no longer have my licenses. I no longer do business in that vein. But to that end, the book is written so that you can make sure that the people you hire, they're working for you. And you have something that's objective that you can use as a vetting process. And even when I speak openly like this, I always tell people, bring your pastor, bring your financial advisor, bring your CPA, bring your attorney, bring your rich uncle, bring anyone that you trust to the same information, as opposed to them pulling you to the side and then whispering in your ear and say, well, this is what that meant. Because that's what people will do. They'll try to distort that you're giving out, and they're not even there, and they won't bring it, they won't say it in front of you when you're working to the person. So I covered a lot, but hopefully you were able to hone in on the two things. Number one, decide right now what's most important to you. Begin with the end in mind. And then, play full out. Don't ever apologize for being driven and playing full out. And then the tool is a great instrument for you to use as a way to navigate all the other information, which is really why I wrote the book, to help people know how to think versus what to think, because there's no shortage of information. I'm like, but don't get into the information overload, syndrome, where you're just circulating information. It's like, navigate that stuff, pull out what you need, what you want, and then keep it moving, which you've done a great job already in your life. So it's just an honor to connect.
Thank you so much. And you are a full embodiment of someone I listen to, Les Brown. He says, live full, die empty. Mm. That's something I stay by. It's a watchword for me. And that's why I try to serve the world on a global scale. I was raised locally, but I was thinking globally. Right? So that's what has helped me. And yeah, when it comes to choosing the life you want, I feel like I've really done that. Because if we look at me 7 years ago, I have a resource that I use to keep track of everything that happens to me every day. And I've not missed that for the last 7 years. It's called futureme.org. I write a letter to a future version of myself every day, saying this is what I'm going through, this is what I'm focused on, and these are the milestones I'm trying to achieve. Mm. So it gets delivered to me every birthday, which means every 365 days, I receive a whole 365-day version of my previous self. So now I'm able to highlight what I did wrong the previous year, map out strategies for the new year, which is my own year starts every birthday, right? So I map it all out. This is what I want to achieve before my next birthday. These are the mistakes I want to avoid. I have a Google Doc now where I save up every win, every fails that I go through, the lessons I learn, and I make sure that, I check it out every time, every day. So I'm already working on that. And when it comes to fatherhood, the main reason I chose this route is because I want to be much more available and active in the lives of my kids. My dad is an awesome man. But he and my mom, they divorced when I was 8 years old. So I didn't really get to live with my dad until I was 18. So I stayed with my mom. I was only visiting my dad once in a while. And then I go back to my mom. So I didn't really have my dad in my life actively. I didn't grow up with him. I was getting in touch with him, but it was not having your dad going to discuss with him, having all of that. I didn't have that when I was growing up. So one of the reasons I chose this line of career or life is because I want a life where I'm able to spend time with family without fearing I have to report to one boss or my income will be capped because I don't report to my duty, right? So I'm my own boss, and that's why. And I've also, since I was 18, I created a policy where I think it is 7.5% of my earnings for the entire year is set aside into a fund. It's set aside into an account that until I have my first child, I mean, I don't know how many kids I'm going to have. I would like to have at least 5 because I want to have them with me and all of that. But I've set aside a fund since I was 18 that I send in 7.5% of every, all the money I make in a total year. This is net profit, not revenue, but net profit for the total year is automatically sent into that account. And I'm also not, I don't check it. Right now I can't say this is how much is in it, but I know that's the money that even, I don't pray to die now, but even if I die, because death is the only thing that is certain, right? So even if I die now, at the point where I have kids, they don't have to start from trauma, right? I want them to have treasures to start with, not trauma. Because I had to start from scratch, like from scratch. When I mean, my dad wasn't born into wealth. He also struggled. So I had to like find something, a wealth vehicle that would deliver the life I want for myself without having to resort to anything nefarious or having to just succumb to life and allow life happen to me. No, I dictate what I want to happen to me, right? So right now I'm just in that process of, you know, ensuring that my family gets taken care of regardless of whatever happens. And I'm also able to live my life on my own terms. So I'm working on it. I'm looking towards getting into real estate in the US. Right now, I'm still traveling the world. I'm yet to settle. I feel like I want to have a taste of every culture, learn from our things, because traveling really changed my perspective of living. You get to some countries, there's a lot of luxury, there's a lot of wealth. I get into some countries and you're treated like a king because of how their economy is like, right? So it's giving me that kind of perspective, the orientation. That's why I'm still traveling. When I want to settle, I'm still considering either Dubai because no taxes, right? There's a lot of luxury. You can immerse yourself in that feeling of luxury and not at the expense of your income though, but then be able to have a taste of luxury. But the US, I want to get into the real estate in the US because real estate, God won't create more land. We already have the land, right? And people will still try to build, they will still try to have a place to sleep in, right? Shelter. We will still try to have somewhere where they can sell their stuff, the warehouse. They'll still try to have somewhere like a restaurant where they can eat. So all of that are still like at the back of my mind, and it is something I'm actively learning about. So I feel like from your wealth of experience, it's something I'll be able to like tap into later on, and probably in the next 2-3 years, it's in line with what I want to buy rentals, have rentals that keeps generating me that cash flow monthly. Because like I said, in the room we were in, I'm a high risk, high reward type of guy, but I also like that monthly cash flow that I know can take care of my basic bills and stuff like that. So yeah, that's something I'm looking forward to. But thank you. I mean, I enjoyed this conversation because it's flowing. It's not restricted. I'm being myself. You're being yourself. It's conversation. So thank you. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. I will give you one other thing that I wish for you as you go forward, and that is the value of the right relationship. The value of the right relationship. I'm so blessed to have had the experience of being married, going through divorce, having heartbreak, but then having that soulmate. And I'll tell you that it's all worth it. You know, the I was married, don't remember the age now, but was married in my 20s, late 20s. That ended in divorce. But in that relationship, I experienced love. I knew what love was as a result of that relationship. And then from there, with the mother of my children, once again, there were lessons learned through that experience about just being a solid parent, being a good father. And in turn, me even moved through that because we ended in divorce with my children. But what's exciting, what I can tell you, that's the great thing about it, is that my ex-wife and myself, we have always been great parents. And we have a great relationship in today. But when God took me through those experiences, I absolutely know he positioned me for this one relationship with my wife, because in meeting her, I met her doing what I was supposed to be doing business-wise. July 8, 2015, as I was leaving LA Fitness, I passed her pink Cadillac, which I recognized as a status symbol, pulled on the side of the road, and she drove by. I flagged her down, reached over to my seat, grabbed a copy of my book, got out of the car, handed it to her through a window and said, "Here, read this. If you get any value from it, you could pay for it later." She contacted me on July 26, telling me she'd read it. She shared with 30 of her directors. They all wanted it. From there, she asked me to do a conference call with 200 of her ladies. I said, "Bring the husbands on." And after that, she asked me to do a live speaking event. And I did that. And then from there, she paid $4,500 and worked with me for 90 days as her coach. That right there, I tell people that meeting in that manner with that mutual respect is the foundation of our relationship and what makes it so strong, because we grew up into a friendship and then we married less than a year meeting at that stop sign. And that's my best friend. She's amazing. She's talented. She's a perfect compliment. And I want that for you and everyone here that's listening as well, for you guys to be able to be your authentic self, because with my wife, I've been able to breathe, to be my authentic self, to not play small. And for someone like you, like me, as someone that's driven, is that as you continue to be successful, the world opens up to you. You're not going to have a shortage of options.
True.
And I encourage you to embrace life and to experience and to just be clear about, you know, yourself and know that which you desire and feel that whole experience. Because again, that's what comes with success. You are elevated and there's someone that can walk beside you. Sure. And allow you to have a more fulfilled life where you can have some things that you know that you don't have it all covered, but there's someone that's your yin to your yang. And that, my friend, is the best of all. So I say, stay focused, enjoy life, experience the world, experience life, invest in great conversations, and allow yourself to be open and receptive to all that's available. Because as a child of God, just know that as long as you keep him first, that there's the promise that all things thereafter shall be added unto you. Keep your spirit, keep your attitude, stay humble, continue to stay the way you are, because you are a beacon of hope, you're an inspiration. And in turn, that's the standard that I think everyone needs to start to see more of, because we don't see it often enough.
Thank you so much. Yeah, on relationships, I mean, I've learned that from when I was young, is that the more you add up your value as a man, the more options you have. A begging man has no choice. Like, in all aspects of life, I've always wanted freedom of choices. Because when you don't have the freedom to make a choice, you're a slave. I didn't want to become a slave to any circumstances. And I've been in a relationship. Been in a relationship, but she's amazing, super amazing. I'm also amazing. and it ended on a mutual level. I just felt like she's not who I believe will help me reach that goal, that end goal I have in mind. I'm driven, but she's not that driven. She's not that, you can only push people to a certain level when you keep doing it, it pisses you off at some point, right? And I'm a no bullshit type of guy. I'll tell you as how it is. I'll let you understand this is really what I feel is ongoing. I can't keep trying to elevate you all the time, man. Keep just dragging yourself behind. I'm always willing to invest in the relationships, right? Romantic or not romantic. Even if I'm your friend, I try to invest because that's the way you keep a relationship going and how you make it thrive. But she just wasn't there. And I thought about it. I was like, you can't really change anyone. What people are showing to you in that dating phase, it would amplify more when you get married. Right? So I just feel like instead of trying to change someone, there's someone exactly how I want out there. So a broken relationship is better than a broken marriage. Right? So like, no, I'm not doing this anymore. And right now I'm just married to my business, focused on it. I try to have fun, like go out and all of that. But right now this is like my main goal. I have goals I've set for myself before 25, before 30. I mean, 25 is already close now. That's 2 years from now. If we really look at it, 25 is already close. 30, I have a milestone I want to achieve before 30. And I know that the more I add up value to myself, the more my network grows, the more women will come into, like the space. And at that point, I will be able to say, okay, this is who I really want. I mean, there are a lot of women that exist. We even have more women than men in the world. The ratio of children born in the hospitals around the world, we have, I think it is 8 girls to 2 boys. Mm-hmm. So there are a lot of women than men in the world. But one just has to be very, very careful because you don't want to attract a Delilah to your Solomon. To your Samson. But you don't want to attract a Delilah to your Samson. Because if you attract a woman that's not in line with your goals, she will drag you down and you'll crumble. Like Samson, despite how great he is, despite how good he was, despite how successful he was, he crumbled. And he perished with the Philistines because he brought a strange woman, Delilah, into his life. Right? I read the Bible and I also apply every lesson. I mean, anything that I can learn from, I'll soak it in. I'm a sponge. I'll soak it all the knowledge in. And look at Solomon too. Solomon is like the wisest man that has ever graced earth. But because of his mistake with, is it Bathsheba or like, the woman he had an affair with and was stripped, he sent her husband to the front of the war. It's been a while already, but that's why he started falling, right? But still, God has already given him that. There's no one that will be as rich as he is. There's no one as smart as he is. But the choice of partner you make is very, very crucial. And I don't want to crumble. I'm building myself in such a way that whenever they mention my name, years after I'm gone, it would always bring a beacon of hope, yeah, to bring that light to people like, oh man, he actually lived. I don't want to just exist. So if a lady is trying to just exist, if you can want a good life, but if your effort doesn't match up to it, what's the essence? So yeah, I'm also taking that really to heart because it just reemphasizes what I've always mapped out and planned over here. So I feel like if I keep going the way I'm going and I have the kind of people like you, good counsel around me, I'll be unstoppable. I know I'm unstoppable, but with you, it's like adding fuel to like the fire that's already burning.
Yeah, it is. So, you're on your way, brother. You're well ahead. Well, listen, if you would, let's go ahead and close it out and let's talk to it. Tell them where they can connect with you. Where are we going to be able to connect? Where should they find you at?
Okay, so I use the same handle on all social media platforms. HQAWIYY. And you can sign up to my email list with the link in my bio on Instagram, HQAWIYY. I'm on Twitter, but I'm not as active at the moment because of Clubhouse. So I'm using Clubhouse. But you can follow me on Clubhouse. Follow me on Instagram at HQAWIYY. And if you are a course creator and you need to revamp your offers, just send me a DM. You can schedule a consultation and we'll talk on seeing if we're a good fit. By the way, I don't do free consultations. So that's also been polarizing. But anyways, you can send me a DM. Either myself or my assistant will reach out to it. But I look forward to connecting to each and everyone that listens to this. I hope I've been able to like share with you a very, very different perspective to how life is. Never really take any moment of your life for granted. You have 86,400 seconds in a day. Feel like that is cash flow deposited into your account. Would you set it on fire or would you really use it to move to the next level? Whatever that answer is, live your life that way. Thanks.
All right, everyone. Once again, this is Nate Scott. The Life is Rich podcast with Nate Scott. We want to thank you guys for listening in. Be sure to listen, comment, share, and rate this so that we can continue to bring outstanding guests to the show. Remember, we all have the same 1,440 minutes per day. When you subtract out the time for working, sleeping, commuting, and the time it takes you to do what you have to do each and every day of your life, most people are left with just 1 to 2 hours remaining to do what they really want to do. But then the question is, do they have the money to do it? And so it's our desire here at the Life is Rich Company to help you to live in fullness every day, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, relationally, physically, and financially. Until next time, take care and be blessed.
Thank you for listening to the Life is Rich podcast. I'm your host, Nate Scott. Remember, if I tell you, you'll forget. If I teach you, you'll remember. But if I involve you, you'll learn. One way to get involved is to rate, subscribe, and leave feedback on iTunes by answering the question, what did you like best about what you heard? One of the problems faced by Christian entrepreneurs striving for success is having an alliance with like-minded people working together for a common, definite objective. Would you like to join a community of Life is Rich soldiers? If so, please rate and subscribe to the Life is Rich podcast on iTunes and text GROWTH to 904-204-0846 for the link and this month's free book. Again, please rate and subscribe to the Life is Rich podcast and text GROWTH to 904-204-0846. Again, my name is Nate Scott. Take care and be blessed.